I'm very happy to say we're joined right now by somebody who works with ESPN, NPR Weekend Edition Saturday. He is an author. Books include The Last Hero, A Life of Henry Aaron, The Heritage, Black Athletes, A Divided America, and The Politics of Patriotism. His latest book, Full Dissonance, Notes from an Uneven Playing Field, is out right now. I consider him a very good friend of the program. He is Howard Bryant. Howard, it is so good to have you on the show. There is a lot that I want to talk to you about, Howard, but before we get into the specifics, how are you doing, and what have the last 2 weeks been like for you, my friend?
It's been, you know, it's funny, Jim, it's been the same, you know, in a lot of ways, but real different in the reaction. I mean, we still do the same thing. You and I have been talking about these issues for years, but the reaction, it does make you realize that something different is happening in this country. There's no doubt about it.
All right, so you wrote a great piece, Howard, for ESPN a few days back that opens by pointing out that the killing of George Floyd by four police officers has led to, quote, an acknowledgement by previously disbelieving white people of the violence historically inflicted upon African Americans and a sudden jarring suggestion that America is ready to deal directly with the terrible truths that violence has entailed, end of quote. What are those truths that are being confronted right now?
Well, I think that one, and I think it's the accumulation of looking at all these viral videos, and maybe it's the fact that everybody's been cooped up in the house for the last 90 days. But when you look at these videos, I remember sitting with Carmelo Anthony once watching, I think it was the Betty Shelby Terrence Crutcher murder in Oklahoma. And just watching these videos, it's like, you know, they're murders. And I think people see these things and they maybe didn't really believe it. And then when you see it, it's just too hard not to look at to see that something has to be done. I think it's that. I also think it's the fact that for the last 3.5 years, this country's been tearing itself apart. And now when you start to have people, you know, you've got tanks rolling down American streets and you've got the National Guard pointing weapons at you, this is no small thing.
We're talking to Howard Bryant. Now, Howard, it's certainly not the first killing of a black man by police, but previous killings have not had this impact. Why do you think this is different, or is this not totally different and only time will tell?
That's a great question. I think it's different simply because I think the biggest difference is that you see the corporate reaction. I think you see people in the streets. There are people in the streets with Ferguson. There are people in the streets with Freddie Gray. There have been people in the streets before. But I think it's the volume. I think it's the volume where things are happening in cities where the actual event isn't happening. It's not just Minneapolis. It's Minneapolis. It's D.C. It's New York. It's all of that. That's one thing. I think the other thing that's different as well is the fact that these corporations have done something that they never do, which is they usually sit on the sidelines. And now what you're seeing is you're seeing them actively getting involved, and they're taking a stand, and they're doing something else. Some of the statements are a little weaker than others, but they're actually mentioning police, and they're mentioning police specifically. And now you're seeing local legislators like in Minneapolis and New York, they're actually talking about finding different funding models for police. And so when that happens, you got to pay attention. This is not like it used to be.
Journalist and author Howard Bryant joining us on the program. Howard, as you've written, quote, to be black is to be a dissident, end of quote. For those who do not know, what do you mean by that? How does the mere fact of being black in America put everything in jeopardy?
Well, let's talk about it from our business, from sports, right? There's no greater sanction that we've seen in the history of 20th century, 21st century sports than actually supporting black people. If you're Tommy Smith and John Carlos, what did you do? You tried to bring attention to what was happening to your people. And what happened to you? You got blackballed. If you were Jackie Robinson and you did the same thing, what happened? People called you a troublemaker and you were a loudmouth before you became a legend after you died. If you're Colin Kaepernick, look what happened. Same thing. You went out to talk about something. You've obviously been vindicated. You were obviously right. And look what happens to you. So the question has been, why is the price so high to defend black people? Why is it that you risk your entire career simply by taking a position? If Colin Kaepernick had been out there supporting Greenpeace, do you really think he'd be out of a job for 4 years or 3 years? So that's what I meant by that, is that there's this feeling that if you take a position to support your people, you are risking everything. And on top of that, if you don't, someone like Michael Jordan or Tiger Woods, you take it, you know, you get an entire you get an entire generation of people asking you where were you. So it's the divisive issue. And my question has always been, why is it that if we're really going to tell each other the truth about things, then you shouldn't risk your entire life talking about it?
Howard Bryant joining us. All right, so in response to that, what do you make of the response within the sports world to the killing of George Floyd?
Yeah, I mean, I think that to me, the big one is the NFL, obviously. I can't think of an American corporation that made it more clear how they felt about kneeling. There's nobody that I can think of that sent the message that this was not going to be tolerated. And now all of a sudden, and this is why we say, and why I'm saying that I feel like this is a different moment, now you see the wind blowing in a different direction. It seems like history is moving in a direction that the NFL didn't anticipate. And now they want to be on the right side of this. I think what I make of it from a football standpoint is I think they may feel that Donald Trump is weakened enough that they can challenge him. They don't really care what he has to say anymore. And I think the rest of the sports world is also realizing, just from a humanity standpoint, that this has got to stop. I mean, I actually think that when we're talking about these issues, it's somewhat late to the party, but we know how it all works. And I think that in the NFL, specifically as a business, the one thing that we never saw during all of this with Kaepernick is we never saw one constituency really get involved here, and that was the superstar quarterback. You and I both know that power in the NFL when it comes to players runs through the quarterbacks. And seeing that ad last week, or seeing that video last week, if you've got Patrick Mahomes and you've got Deshaun Watson involved in this, that changes everything in terms of player participation getting involved.
So what do you make of that, Howard? To that point, why do you think there was a time that at that time that quarterbacks were not willing to get involved, and now suddenly you have quarterbacks and white quarterbacks who are now suddenly expressing support in 2020? What changed in that regard?
I think it's a couple things. One, I think it's a delayed effect. I think this generation is a little bit different than our generation. And I think that they've grown up with this idea of post-racialism, and everybody's listening to the same music. They're all part of the same culture. And I think there's part of that. But I think the other thing is that you've got a different person under center. It's always been said that the quarterback was essentially an extension of management. And now you've got these guys showing a little bit more independence. And I think that social media has a lot to do with it, too, in terms of the pressure. These guys have a direct connection to the public. And as the guys with the St. Louis Rams had said back in 2014, they're feeling it from their communities at home. They get their friends going, hey, man, you're Patrick Mahomes. You're the best player in the sport. Where are you? And so you start to feel a little bit of peer pressure if your friends are out in the street and they're out protesting and they're doing stuff, they're looking at you going, you've got more power than I have. You've got more protection than I have. You've got more money than I have. Where are you?
We're talking to Howard Bryant. Now, Howard, moments ago you said at the top, you and I have been having conversations about issues like this for years. However, certain people love to bring out this notion that sports and politics should be kept separate. As somebody who has written extensively about the relationship between sports and the military, as well as sports and law enforcement, especially after September 11th, what's your reaction when you hear people say that sports and politics should be separate?
Well, I think that next year is going to be the 20th anniversary of 9/11. So for a lot of sports fans, this is what they know. And I think it's a bit of hypocrisy because what you're really saying is that politics to you means something I disagree with. And people make the distinction that having the cops and military on the field is not politics. It's patriotism. And I can't think of anything more political than war. So I've always disagreed with that notion, and it's always struck me as a way of telling black people to be quiet, because politics to them is talking about something that black people want to hear, and most of the white fan base wants you to be quiet about it. So I always felt it was a silencing. But I really do think that the way this is looking right now, there's a certain reckoning taking place about how we have packaged sports, how we've sold sports over the past 20 years in the post 9/11 era. Maybe it's got to change.
Excuse me, Howard. We are talking to Howard Bryant for a few more moments. I was going to ask you, Howard, as it relates to the NFL, how much of this in your mind is about Roger Goodell, and how much of this is about the 32 team owners?
It's split down the middle. And I think that the reason why I've been so disbelieving on this, and some people have said to me, well, why are you being so hard on Roger Goodell? Why are you being so hard on the NFL? Well, one, you didn't mention Colin Kaepernick's name. And so can you really clean the slate if you're going to blackball the guy who brought this up? And two, the one thing we haven't heard, Jim, is we haven't heard any owner come out and say Colin Kaepernick is welcome to play in the NFL. And so I think that on the one hand, you've got Roger Goodell getting paid all this money to shield the owners. But on the other, you recognize that the four most powerful owners in the game, Kraft, Jones, Mara, Rooney, if you don't hear from them, if they don't say that Colin Kaepernick is welcome to play in the NFL or that we support protest, then all of this is just smoke and mirrors. They run the game and Roger Goodell works for them.
We are talking to Howard Bryant. Howard, before you go, given that one of the major issues at hand is racist police brutality, how important is it for the NFL to reevaluate its relationship with the police? And can you actually see them doing that?
Very important, and no. And I think that's the hard part. I mean, we saw what happened when the Cleveland Browns went and took a knee, and the Cleveland police didn't want to give them escorts, and they didn't. We saw what happened with the Beyonce concert, that they didn't want to provide services for them. So you know that relationship is going to be a real difficult one. And I think that's when you have these issues in the middle of a sport, that's why it's so divisive. I don't think you're going to get rid of police in the sport because they do have a financial business relationship with them. My attitude is this, is that if you're going to have these attitudes in the game, there's got to be room for everybody. Otherwise, you're punishing one voice while you're propping up another.
So finally, Howard, what does the next step in the process look like, both for the NFL and for the country as a whole?
Well, the country as a whole, I think all of this, I mean, I think this country's falling apart right now, and I think that there's a reckoning. And obviously we'll find out, you know, when we get to November. I think that's a huge, huge part of this. But as for the NFL, I think the NFL needs to sit down once and for all and figure out what it is as an organization. I think that they're going to let Colin Kaepernick go by the sidelines. I don't think they're ever going to engage in that, even though they should. But I think what they're really doing is they're trying to have some sort of relationship with this next generation of players because they don't want their superstars out there taking a knee and following what Kaepernick had done.
Howard Bryant is a prolific author. His latest book, Full Dissidence, Notes from an Uneven Playing Field, is out right now. You can also see him on ESPN, NPR Weekend Edition on Saturday. He is a good friend of the program. Howard, it is so good to run you down. I really appreciate your thoughts. That's a great conversation. Thank you very much, my friend.
Thanks, Jim. My pleasure.
Howard Bryant joining us. All right, we will take a time out right now. Telephone number is toll free. We are open until the middle, actually the quarter of next hour. Harold Varner III, PGA Tour Pro, joins me then. Arizona Cardinals running back Kenyon Drake in hour number 3.